We've had floods all over the South, especially right up the road here in Nashville. It's just horrifying. Also in Chattanooga. We were pretty much spared the bulk of it. And as I heard Keith Olbermann say tonight, one of the worst things about being involved in a natural disaster is when there's another one going on that's even worse. And that's what's happened in Tennessee. I believe they had between 15 and 20 people die as a result of these floods and this horrific weather. The rain, of course, these tremendous rainstorms are another example of the results of, global warming, global climate change. And this is only going to continue. Regarding the bombing in Times Square, I believe it's another Glenn Beck follower. If not Beck himself, you know, although if that little video where the guy's taken off his shirt and it didn't look like Beck, but that could have been somebody he sent out as a decoy. But so far, no word whether or not it was Beck or one of his followers that set that bomb off. I'm assuming that it was one of his followers. Because this is what Glenn Beck and these other right-wing freaks are always trying to instill in their listeners. So much hatred and suspicion and fear about the federal government. So much reference to Timothy McVeigh and bombing and militia types. This is what they push for. This is what they want. So we'll see. I would suggest to the FBI, as they're trying to find this guy, just go through Glenn Beck's emails. Maybe you'll find something, huh, guys? We're also going to touch on the Arizona accent law for school teachers. What the hell is going on in Arizona? Now, if you have a too thick of an accent, you can be fired as a school teacher? Jesus God, that means, Haley Barbour, the governor of Mississippi, could never go down there and talk. That means that Jeff Sessions and these other crackers from Alabama that talk like this could never get a job down there because they're hard to understand. Arizona, what is going on? In Arizona, I mean, the state is becoming Crazyville. I mean, real Crazyville. We might touch on that, although there's not too much else to say about it. Susan in Squim, Washington. Mike, I've been wondering what you make of this business in Times Square over the weekend. After seeing the ineptitude of it all, I have a strong hunch that it's not Al-Qaeda at all, but is rather a teabagger. No proof, just a gut feeling. What cinched it for me was the fact that there was fertilizer there, but not the kind that could blow up. How much you want to bet that Bubba got it from the farm? Probably said, hey, fertilizer blows up. I'll just get some out of the barn. Just wondering. Susan and Squim. Well, I tend to agree with that. I think it's one of these militia nutballs, probably a teabagger, and certainly someone who thinks Glenn Beck is God. From Crooks and Liars, remember how the crowds at the 2008 Republican National Convention all chanted, drill, baby, drill, drill, baby, drill, led by people like Michael Steele and John McCain and Rudy Giuliani, and most of all by the hoe from Wasilla, Sarah Palin. And what Palin said in her debate with Joe Biden, this is what she said. The chant is drill, baby, drill. And that's what we hear all across this country in our rallies, because people are so hungry for those domestic sources of energy to be tapped into. They know that even my own energy producing state, we have billions of barrels of oil and hundreds of trillions of cubic feet of clean, green, natural gas. And we're building a nearly 40 billion natural gas pipeline, which is North America's largest and most expensive infrastructure project ever to flow those sources of energies into hungry markets. Yeah, but Barack Obama and Senator Biden, you've said no to everything in trying to find a domestic solution to the energy crisis that we're in. You even called drilling, which is a safe, environmentally friendly drilling offshore, you called it raping the Outer Continental Shelf. Really, Sarah? Is that what? Is that what it is? Safe, environmentally friendly drilling? Notice I haven't heard anything from these teabag bastards, huh? Email from our education affairs correspondent Kate Petrini. Hi, Mike. During your interview with Mike Papantonio on Friday's program, you mentioned a piece by CNN's Rick Sanchez. Rick Sanchez, in which he tried to present a balanced view of the oil disaster in the Gulf. You were incredulous that the media would try to present the fact that critical safety mechanisms on BP's oil rig were absent as one of two valid sides to the story. As part of our American history unit on McCarthyism, I'm showing my students the outstanding film, Good Night and Good Luck. In one scene, Edward R. Murrow is being accused of editorializing in his piece about the unjustified severance of Lieutenant Colonel Milo Radulovic from the Air Force on the grounds that Radulovic's father had read a Serbian newspaper. Murrow says in the movie, "I've searched my conscience. I can't for the life of me find any justification for this. I simply cannot accept that there are on every story two equal and logical sides to an argument. Call it editorializing if you like." End quote. It's beyond unfortunate that today's talking heads seem to have rejected Murrow's wisdom in favor of employing the false equivalency formula to everything, including this clear-cut instance of criminal negligence that is destroying the Gulf of Mexico and beyond. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about this before. This attempt at this false equivalence that the corporate media is so intent on doing is just so infuriating, and it's so phony, and it's the only way that they have to protect themselves from an onslaught from these right-wing bastards that will then send emails to the board of directors and say, "Oh, your people are being left-wing." Andy in Seattle, Mike, I was listening to your interview with Mike Papantonio this morning while I was biking into work, and he made some great points as to the environmental disaster that, let's face it, will deal another death blow to the Gulf Coast. Still, I was shocked that the real reason for this and other disasters was glossed over. It's our driving, Mike, that's at the root of that explosion last month, and it's our desire for all those petroleum-based products that fuel those flames. Need we remind ourselves, it has been over 20 years, 20 damn years, since the Exxon Valdez, and what's changed? We still drive our cars and SUVs. Some of us pat ourselves on the head, thinking our hybrids are so much better for the environment, while forgetting the impact on the environment the hybrid has already cost the planet. We make up excuses for needing to drive. The kids got soccer practice. I want to live far away from my work. Public transit isn't reliable when the reality is we are too self-centered to think about anyone else other than ourselves. And I'm including conservatives and most liberals I know. How many listeners right now really think about the impact of their driving when we get behind the wheel? How much environmental damage have we helped cause? How many soldiers have died to put gas in your car? Yeah, Cheney had a lot to answer for, as does BP and the other oil companies. But since the Valdez, we have had 21 years to pull our heads out of our asses, and we need to start looking in the mirror. The biggest problem is staring right back at you. Andy in Seattle. All right, we have a break. We will return. We're going to talk some more about this disaster unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico. If you haven't read Kathy's blog today, go to MikeMalloy.com and read it. It personalizes. It puts into the first person her experiences in that part of the country. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. One time around the earth, horse, feeding some more, baby, I'll be home soon. I bet they'll have a lot of questions, maybe some suggestions, and I bet they're gonna ask me about man's insanity. You got a real nice planet here, but you better watch your atmosphere, and you better clean your waters up, or have none for your cup. You got a real nice planet here. Also read Kathy's blog at Op-Ed News, opednews.com, or Huffington Post. AJ, the Music Factory, who used to call a lot, but for some reason hasn't lately. Hey, Mike, I had to get this off my chest. He wrote today, bless his heart. The Red Menace. That's the red state people. The Red Menace is calling the BP oil disaster Obama's Katrina. I think this begs a few questions. Is the menace admitting that the handling or not of the Katrina crisis by the government under George W. Bush was a display of criminal negligence? Else, why would it so enthusiastically be trying to pin the Katrina moniker on President Obama? Is this Obama's Katrina, or is it in fact Bush's oil spill? Who are the ones responsible for the deregulation of the oil industry? Who are the ones that gutted the various environmental laws which protected the people of the United States and their most precious resources? Who are the ones that had meetings with the oil industry so secret the American people to this day have no idea what deals may have been cut, although perhaps now they can begin to speculate? What are the connections between this catastrophe and Halliburton? How do the connections between the current administration and Halliburton compare and contrast to the connections between the Bush administration and Halliburton? How does the way the current administration handled its so-called Katrina in its first few days compare and contrast to how the former administration handled its real Katrina in the first few days? Who was it that in a stadium packed full of heat-stricken and shell-shocked victims declared with a titter, "This is working out very well for them"? Who was it that couldn't even remember the name of the crisis at hand, calling the hurricane Corinna? Accepting for a moment the premise of the psychotics, with a monster ready to engulf the Florida shores and continue right up the East Coast, with Louisiana fishers and shrimpers having to bid farewell, possibly forever, to a way of life in place for generations, with the United States having to stand in front of the world community like a child who has once again messed in his pants and the world once again forced to deal with it, with 11 families living in unimaginable anguish over their missing and feared dead relatives, with a vein at the bottom of the ocean having been savagely opened and now bleeding oil into our water at the rate of 100,000 barrels a day and with no definite end in sight, with one of the most fragile and important estuaries on the planet in epic-scale jeopardy, with red state governors doing a full-throttle reverse and now pleading for federal assistance, with southern states, ironically, one of the main food supplies of the red scourge, staring at the possibility of economic ruin, and with anyone of any political stripe wondering how this will affect the price of oil, with all of that, how is it that the GOP has no conscience, which prevents him from politicizing this tragic moment in time, that would at least put on hold their absolute maniacal desire to topple the president. During the first days and weeks of Katrina, in spite of everything we knew to be true about who was responsible, how often did we hear, "This is not a time for finger pointing"? How often did we hear, "This is not a time to play the blame game"? And finally, do we take these people to therapy, or do we just exile them? Signed, AJ, The Music Factory. Well, I have a third alternative, but I've been told I shouldn't talk about shooting people as often as I do, especially these right-wing vermin. Alabama Attorney General Troy King said he has told representatives of BP that they should stop circulating settlement agreements among coastal Alabamians. The agreements, the attorney general said, essentially require that people give up the right to sue in exchange for an immediate payment of up to $5,000. The attorney general said BP's efforts were particularly strong in Bayou La Batre. The attorney general said he is prohibited from giving legal advice to private citizens, but he added that, quote, people need to proceed with caution and understand the ramifications before signing something like that, end quote. A spokesman for BP said the waiver agreement or a requirement had been stripped out and that ones already signed would not be enforced. Isn't that just typically corporate predatory capitalism? I mean, isn't that, let's go around and get the dumbass fishermen and shrimpers to sign an agreement where they'll sign over all their legal rights for $5,000. Those people are so stupid. What's $5,000 to those people? Oh, my God, that's a lot of money. Let's see how dumb they really are. You filthy bastards. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Show. Talk radio matters here.
It is 25 before the hour. Mike from Connecticut writes, Mike, I was thinking today about the fact that liberals always get stuck dealing with the short-sightedness and destruction of the Republicans. Before the Iraq War, we were screaming and protesting only to be totally ignored. Now we have thousands of dead bodies, billions of wasted dollars, and the increased growth of hatred for us in the Middle East. Environmentalists were screaming about offshore drilling while the morons with their leader Sarah Palin were chanting, drill, baby, drill. We were mocked for being against increasing our oil production. Where are they now? It's always the liberals who are ignored that get stuck with cleaning up the mess. And so it goes. Mike from Connecticut. Dick Cheney. From the Wall Street Journal, quote, the oil well spewing crude into the Gulf of Mexico didn't have a remote control shutoff switch used in two other major oil producing nations as last resort protection against underwater spills. The lack of the device, called an acoustic switch, could amplify concerns over the environmental impact of offshore drilling after the explosion and sinking of the Deepwater Horizon rig last week. Regulators in two major oil-producing countries, Norway and Brazil, in effect require them. Norway has had acoustic triggers on almost every offshore rig since 1993. The U.S. considered requiring a remote control shutoff mechanism several years ago, but drilling companies questioned its cost and effectiveness, according to the agency overseeing offshore drilling. The agency, the Interior Department's Minerals Management Service, says it decided the remote device wasn't needed because rigs had other backup plans to cut off a well. The Journal's report doesn't come out and say this, but the environmental lawyer Mike Papantonio, who we had on this program the other night, said that it was Cheney's Energy Task Force that decided the switches, which cost half a mil each, were too much of a burden on the industry. So who are you going to believe, huh? Cheney, Dick Cheney is the toxin, the poison that just keeps on giving. Have you noticed that? Everything that this filthy, degenerate man has ever touched has turned out to be full of death, full of rot, full of rats and roaches. And now his offspring is doing the same thing. Dick Cheney. I found this to be very, very interesting. It was from MediaMatters.org. And it is a summary of Fox Channel's advocacy of drilling in the Gulf. And as Media Matters says, in the wake of the catastrophic oil spill currently occurring in the Gulf of Mexico, Media Matters reviews Fox News' fervent advocacy for offshore drilling. Its activism has included promoting Sarah Palin's drill baby drill mantra and pushing the myths suggesting that drilling is environmentally safe. Palin, on the April 14th edition of On the Record, host Greta Van Susteren aired footage of Fox News contributor Sarah Palin giving a speech at a Tea Party event in which she repeated the drill baby drill mantra she first voiced during the 2008 presidential campaign, saying, quote, "We can pave the way for proven conventional sources of energy, resource development with nuclear and clean coal technology, and on offshore drilling. Because remember, the energy in America is security for America. So yeah, let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall." Sean Hannity. On the April 1st edition of his show, Sean Hannity said, quote, "We've got the oil reserves in Alaska. We've got them off the coast of Florida. We've got them off the coast in California. We've got them in the Gulf. We know where the oil is. We don't need to explore. We need to drill, baby, drill. Drilling would be conducted in an environmentally sensitive manner." The crazy bastard Glenn Beck said on the September 2nd edition of his CNN headline news show, back when he was working there, Glenn Beck said, quote, "I got news for the greenies. If you really cared about the environment, you would let us drill for our own oil. It appears to me that the oil companies are doing a better job protecting the ocean and the fishes and the Gulf of Mexico than the local, state, and federal government are having at protecting people in our cities." What the hell does that mean? On the July 14th edition of his CNN headline show, Beck noted President, at the time, President Bush's removal of, quote, "the executive ban on offshore drilling," end quote, adding, "Welcome to the party, George. This is a ban that was as antiquated as it is idiotic. Unfortunately, no more oil is going to flow from the Atlantic, at least until Congress does the same thing and lifts the ban there as well," end quote. On June 18th, 2008, Beck said that, quote, "President Bush gave a speech this afternoon urging Congress to pass legislation lifting the congressional ban on safe, environmentally friendly offshore oil drilling, blah, 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 blah. Anybody with a car and a brain has been screaming about that for a long time." Beck also called the lifting of the ban, quote, so logical the politicians have trouble even understanding it, end quote. From the May 12, 2008 edition of his show, Beck said, quote, we have to ramp up domestic offshore drilling, even off the coast of billionaire vacation spots like South Florida, California, and my favorite, Cape Cod. So tonight, America, here's what you need to know. Until we get a president and Congress with vision, or really, I'll just settle for one with a clue, we need a temporary energy solution. Aggressive drilling is one of them. It just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. Newt Gingrich talking about it. This crazy little bastard, Bill Kristol, talking about it. Neil Cavuto. O'Reilly. What's his name? Mike Huckabee advocating offshore drilling. Greg Jarrett. He's the co-reader of Fox News Happening Now. It just goes on and on. So I just wonder if the bobbleheads who still watch the Fox channel, if they are aware that the people who have been feeding this nonsense to them for a couple of years now, that first of all, that offshore drilling is environmentally safe. It is not. It never is. Onshore. The hour. Yeah, it was 35 years ago today that Saigon fell to the bloodthirsty, ghoulish beasts from the north. Isn't that what we were told? 58,000 Americans died, a couple of million Vietnamese for what? I'll never forget those images. Bobby Jindal, huh? How about these freaks? Hey, all you Republicans, all you conservatives, all you drill baby drill people, huh? Where are you? Where are you cowardly bastards, huh? And where are you teabag freaks out in Arizona? You scum suckers who've been wandering around the country for the past 7 or 8 months with your dumbass misspelled signs talking about keeping the government out of people's private affairs, keeping that fascist Barack Obama from destroying the Constitution. Where are you, scum? You've got two big issues here, you scummy cowards. Huh? Show me your papers in Arizona. Where are you, Glenn Beck? Have you committed suicide yet, you freak? Have you taken your half-witted followers with you? Have you drunk the Flavor Aid yet, you rat bastard? And as far as this disaster that is unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico, Bobby Jindal, who had the absolute audacity, and every single Republican, where's Haley Barbour, huh? Talking about the stinking federal government. You phony little punks. Now you're screaming for the federal government, aren't you? What is Rick Goodhair Perry over in Texas going to do if great waves of this stuff come washing up on Galveston Island or all along the Texas coast? What are you punks, you little crybabies? What are you going to do now, huh? You don't want the federal government now? You don't want them now? I'll tell you what. What's his real name? Parish Janish Jindal. What's his first name? Haish Maush. You call him Bobby. Bobby my ass. Anyway, Governor Jindal, why don't you round up some people? Look around. Maybe you can get some of the people who are unemployed in the great state of Louisiana and send them out in rowboats with sponges, and they can sop up some of the oil, huh? You don't want the federal government. You don't want the National Guard. You don't want any of that. I'll tell you what, Mr. Paiush, that's his name. Hey, Paiush, why don't you get on the blower and call BP and ask them to get their asses out there and save your coastline? You crybaby bastard. All over television, huh? All over television, talking about federal help. Ooh, where's the government? Where's the government? You phony little right-wing Republican conservative punks. Every single one of you. You vote Republican, or you Republican office holders, damn you. Damn you, you two-faced hypocrites. There, I feel better getting all that out. Scum suckers. Deregulation, huh, you right-wingers? You want more of that, Republicans? How about more, huh? Yeah, more deregulation. We don't need it. We don't need safety devices on these oil wells. We don't need safety regulations for food. Two more miners dead in Kentucky. And the mine over there, how many violations do they have? That's right, you Republican scum. You want more of this, don't you? Of course you do, you freaks. And small government, huh? You want more small government? Well, then, Jindal, shut your goddamn mouth. Excuse me. Shut your mouth. Quit crying and whining from the governor's mansion in Louisiana about you want some federal help. Why? You don't need federal help. Man. Drill, baby, drill. Well, you got it, you right-wing Republican scum. You got it. You got exactly what you wanted. The aftermath of Dick Cheney and deregulation and small government and get out of the way, quit stomping on the Constitution, all this stuff you punks have been talking about. What are you going to do now? Tell me, what are you going to do now? You thumb suck. I'll tell you what you can do. Put on your camo outfits and go run around in the woods and pretend like you're going to shoot the commies that are coming over the next hill. You dirty scum suckers. We'll be back after the break. I think we'll be back after the break. We'll be back after the... There we go. Once again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program. It is where you can win a 1 year's subscription to commercial free downloads of the Malloy program for your iPod, your L-Pod, your M-Pod, N-Pod, anything you want to download it to. All you have to do is answer the question correctly. Are we ready to play? Yes, we are. Let's start with Jason, who's in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Listening online. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Mike.
Are you ready to do this?
I am.
Are your palms sweaty? Are your stomach got butterflies? Anything?
Just don't want to miss the answer here.
Oh, okay. Well, don't let me throw you off. Okay, you ready? All right.
Okay.
Here's your question. Sarah Palin recently testified in a trial against college student David Kernell, who has now been found guilty of what crime against the ditzy chick? Was it A, hacking her email and posting it on the internet? B, trying to impregnate one of her offspring. C, putting on YouTube a video in which he impersonated a college reporter and asked her tough questions she couldn't answer. Or D, creating the infamous photograph of Sarah in a patriotic red, white, and blue bikini brandishing a rifle.
I believe the answer was A.
A? That's your final answer. You win! All right, Jason. That's good. All right, Jason, don't go away. I'm going to put you on hold. Kathy's going to get the pertinent information. Congratulations,
pal.
All right, man, hold on. There you go. All right. Anybody else holding on for podcast trivia? Well, that's it for tonight. Maybe some of our benefactors out there might want to send in some more podcast gift subscriptions. We got a couple the other day. All right. Occasionally, we are going to start giving what we call the Crazy Bastard of the Week Award. This is going to be to the right-winger, the conservative, self-described conservative, who most personifies a crazy bastard in the previous week. We'll be giving this periodically, not necessarily every week, although we could probably give one of these every hour. But we have two winners tonight. It's odd. The first night we're going to do this, and we come up with two winners. Here's your first one. Maggie in Mount Shasta, California, called my attention to this. She writes, wow, anything goes on right-wing radio these days. Let's make up a good line, blast it all over the airwaves again. You ready? The oil platform disaster now unfolding in the Gulf of Mexico was caused by eco-terrorists to celebrate Earth Day. That's ruthlessly brilliant Rush Limbaugh's idea. Only in your evil mind, Rush, could you think up something like this. It's kind of like when people thought Bush and Cheney let 9/11 happen, which is much more likely to be the actual truth. But, Rush, you didn't like that one, did you? This latest and very gross talking point is an example of the Karl Rove blaming others for what you're guilty of yourself. Just what right-wing radio loves to spew constantly. But in reality, there is no eco-terrorist anywhere who would think it productive to cause this kind of environmental devastation just to prove a point. Environmentalists have a totally different mindset than Carl, Rush, Cheney, Glenn, and all your loyal followers. They're not willing to cause harm to others for financial gain and notoriety. Only the right-wing ideology could produce such a talking point about who caused this horrid disaster. So, let's hide the truth, like you hypocrites always do. Don't let the public know that Halliburton is obscenely negligent for their practices running the Gulf oil platforms. An automatic cutoff valve, which would have been more costly for them to install, could have saved lives and stopped this entire disaster. These valves are used in most northern European rigs for safety reasons, but Halliburton needs to cut costs. Bottom line, profits, you know. Corporate profits and agendas always trump public welfare, don't they? Maggie in Mount Shasta, California. So, Crazy Bastard of the Week award goes to Limbaugh. He would win them every week. And the second one, ta-da, the runner-up, is John Boehner, the House Minority Leader. Boehner, according to Boehner, he said today that House Republicans could win 100 or more seats in this fall's elections. Boehner's, oh my God. Boehner said he believes there is no seat that the Republicans cannot win during this election cycle, judging by Senator Scott Brown's win back in January special election in Massachusetts. Boehner said during an appearance on National Public Radio, that figures, quote, let me remind you that Scott Brown won the Ted Kennedy seat in Massachusetts. If Scott Brown can win in America, there isn't a seat in America the Republicans can't win. How do you like my tan? When pressed for a number, Boehner said he believed the Republicans could win as many as 100 seats in this fall's election. Woo! At least 100 seats, Boehner said when asked how wide the playing field for districts is. I do, he answered when asked if he thinks there are 100 seats in the U.S. Senate that could change hands. 100 seats. Is that right, Boehner? I wonder if he'll be around after the November election. I mean, in a leadership position. Oh, my God. Patricia writes, my good interview with Pap. I'm sure you'll stay on the story. I'm so upset about the place I love the most, the Gulf Coast. I can't help feeling suspicious that this could have happened on purpose to damage the Obama administration. Kind of like the levees breaking, the two unnecessary wars in 9/11. I would not put anything past these evil bastards. Patricia. Yeah. It's incredible. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal declared a state of emergency for Louisiana and called for the federal government's help in averting an environmental disaster. Oh, dear. Oh, my. This little right-wing puke calling for the federal government's help. Well, that's not going to sit very well with his dumbass Republican Freedom Works people, is it? Huh? Is Glenn Beck going to run down to Louisiana? Is Sean Hannity going to go down and hold a fundraiser for all the people who are going to die from toxic oil poisoning? And then will Sean Hannity steal the money the way he does with veterans, dead veterans' wives and children? Huh? Is Rush Limbaugh? What's Limbaugh going to do? You filthy pukes. What are you going to do? Huh? Oh, Bobby Jindal wants the federal government's help. Oh, why? Federal government can't do anything right, Bobby. Federal government can't do anything, Paiush. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you your American name, your English name. That must be very offensive to you to be called an English name. After all, that the people in your nation went through to throw off the English yoke. So, Paiush, are you actually saying you want help from the federal government? Why? Isn't that contradictory? Huh? Ah! You filthy hypocrites. You filthy hypocrites. Every single one of you blubbery right-wingers. You whiny Republicans. Oh, my God. Houston Chronicle. As oil begins washing up onto Louisiana shores, teeming with wildlife and weather-threatened cleanup efforts, President Barack Obama today insisted that energy companies will have to employ new precautions in future offshore drilling to prevent a repeat of the Deepwater Horizon rig disaster. Obama says he has ordered Interior Secretary Ken Salazar to conduct a, quote, thorough review, end quote, report back within 30 days on what safety steps can be taken to prevent accidents like the one that's unfolding now. Mr. President, with all respect for the office that you occupy, there is nothing that can be done. You can tell companies like BP and Halliburton to put on, include shutoff, emergency shutoff valves, which will lessen the damage. But there's nothing that can be done. You're going to drill in the Gulf of Mexico. There are already 800 platforms out there now. This is part of the cost to the American public of doing business. Exxon Valdez, 20, how many years ago? What happened, 89? 20, 21 years ago? And the disaster still is unfolding because of the Exxon Valdez in Prudhoe Bay. And now this? Was it Prudhoe Bay? No, it wasn't Prudhoe Bay. Oh, never mind. Don't email me. And now this. You heard Mike Papantonio tonight. This disaster is, it's going to be the largest ecological disaster in the history of the United States. And you can bet your ass that about 80% of the blame goes back to one Dick Cheney, who sat down with the oil company executives in his private meeting and said, you don't have to pay any attention to any of these stupid-ass environmental. As far as Pat Leahy is concerned, F him. Just go out there and do whatever you want to do. Make sure I get my check. Put it in the numbered Swiss account run by UBS, but you don't have to pay any attention to this stuff. Forget these goddamn liberals. They don't mean anything. Before the hour, and then there's this. President Obama today directed that no new offshore oil drilling leases be issued unless rigs have new safeguards to prevent a repeat of the explosion that unleashed the massive spill threatening the Gulf Coast with major environmental damage. I've got a better idea. You should excuse me, Mr. President. God knows, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, but instead of saying no new offshore drilling leases to be issued, how about declaring that they all have to stop now and be checked for the very device that Halliburton refused to put on, or BP refused to put on, the platform that exploded? To hell with future leases. Mr. President, act like a president, okay? Tell them to stop until those devices are put on the rigs. No? Not going to do that? Okay, whatever. Meanwhile, Florida Governor Charlie Crist, newly an independent, declared a state of emergency in the state's panhandle coastal counties. It's one place left in Florida that I would still go, take my family. I stopped going to Florida years ago. The East Coast beaches suck, every single one of them. You get below Tampa and St. Pete, they suck, every single one of them, because of all the rich people who have screwed up the shoreline, built their condos, walled off access to the beach, yada, yada, yada. So the only place left was the so-called Forgotten Coast. Those of you who have been to St. George's or Cape San Blas or further on out towards Pensacola and beyond, you know what I'm talking about. Those beautiful white sand beaches and the sand dunes out there. Charlie Crist has declared a state of emergency in Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, Walton Bay, and Gulf counties. Those last three, Walton Bay and Gulf counties, are the counties that... Oh, well. Obama ordered Interior Secretary Salazar to report within 30 days on what new technologies are needed to tighten safeguards against oil spills from deepwater drilling rigs. Obama said at a Rose Garden event today, quote, "We are making sure any leases going forward have those safeguards," end quote. Yeah, yeah, good for you. Good for you, Mr. President. Just like Papantonio said tonight, the devastation, economic, environmental, spiritual, he didn't say it, but the spiritual damage that'll be committed in the name of these filthy, stinking, just, be careful now, don't say things that'll get you thrown off the air. These filthy, rotten corporations, the damage that they do, whether it's in mines, or in coal mines, asbestos mines, copper mines, drilling onshore, offshore, factories that produce batteries and leave in environmental disasters, textile plants in this country that use dyes, and then when they leave, they don't bother cleaning up. These sons of bitches, every single one of these corporate predators who continue to do this over and over and over. And as Mike Papantonio pointed out tonight, have you heard anybody in mainstream media reporting the really serious story about how this was all engineered during the Cheney years. This was all put together by Dick Cheney and George W. Halfwit Bush. No, you don't hear that, do you? Back in February, when Palin said at a national tea bag convention, how's that Hopi Changey thing working out for you? I'd like to ask the hoe from Wasilla a question. How's that drill, baby, drill thing working out for you? She doesn't care. None of these tea bag bastards care. They're in it for the money. They're all in it for the money. You know they're in it for the money. They are working these poor, ignorant Republican teabag freaks for all they're worth. It's a money scam. People like Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Sarah Palin, every one of these filthy Republicans that owns a microphone or uses a microphone on radio or television. How much longer? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Two illegal wars didn't wake you people up, you right-wingers, you Republicans. Torture didn't wake you up. Environmental disasters don't wake you up. Miners dying because the mine company had hundreds of violations. None of that wakes you up. Are you people just terminally brain dead? Is anything going to wake you Republicans up? Don't you realize what your party and your mindset and your philosophy, you scum suckers, are doing to this country? You don't care. You don't care. I said it before and I'll say it again. Conservatism is a terrorist philosophy. It's a terrorist movement. The Republican Party is a terrorist organization. And every one of these right-wing apologists, like Beck, like Hannity, like Limbaugh, they are terrorists. They are killing people. They are destroying the planet. They are doing everything they can to find favor with their corporate owners. And what do we do? Do we finally get pissed off enough to do something to make these people stop? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? Huh? What's it going to take? How much death and destruction before we say that's enough and move on these bastards? How much is it going to take? What's it going to take? Huh? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. A lot of stuff that we wanted to cover tonight we're not going to get to because at the last minute we decided to ask Mike Papantonio to come on the program and chat. But Yeah, we found this. Kathy found this one, actually. The Arizona legislature, people in Arizona, you people live in Arizona, I feel sorry for you, unless you're one of these conservative Republicans, and then you're just having a field day, aren't you? You're just having great fun out there. How about this? It says here, after making national headlines for a new law on illegal immigrants, the Arizona legislature passed a bill yesterday that would ban ethnic studies programs in the state that critics say currently advocate separatism and racial preferences. That's what Arizona represents, separatism and racial preferences. The bill, which passed 32-26 in the state house, had been approved by the Senate a day earlier and now goes to Governor Jan Brewer for her signature. The new bill would make it illegal for a school district to teach any courses that promote the overthrow of the U.S. government, promote resentment of a particular race or class of people, are designed primarily for students of a particular ethnic group, or, quote, advocate ethnic solidarity instead of the treatment of pupils as individuals, end quote. Yeah?
Can I just ask which cultural class anyone's ever had that taught how to overthrow the U.S. government? I would love to know
what
that one's called, because I never saw How to Overthrow the Government 101 anywhere in my college syllabus. Or
the Arizona legislature, both houses, are asylums. They are. They're just absolute crazy asylums. The bill stipulates that courses can continue to be taught for Native American pupils in compliance with federal law. Schools that fail to abide by this new law would have state funds withheld. State Superintendent for Public Instruction Tom Horn called passage of this bill a victory for the principle that education should unite, not divide students of different backgrounds. My God, the way they twist this stuff around. Is there anything that Republicans don't twist into some misshapen glob that totally destroys the meaning? Is that what ethnic studies does? It divides people? You crazy bastards. You crazy bastards. Horn claims the ethnic studies programs encourages ethnic chauvinism, his words. It says it promotes Latinos to rise up and create a new territory out of the southwestern region of the United States. And ethnic studies programs tries to intimidate conservative teachers in the school system. Arizona, just an absolute madhouse, a hothouse of crazy people. It's not just Arizona. They're just leading the way. I'm going to leave this guy's name off. He says he went to a town hall meeting April 6th, conducted by Republican Congressman John Fleming, and the comments that my emailer sent me concern a natural gas operation in northwest Louisiana. And my correspondent writes, Mike, I recently attended a town hall meeting given by my representative, John Fleming, who's a Republican. One topic addressed was a natural gas operation in the area where I live. In the same vein that the current oil spill in the Gulf takes, as far as cutting costs on safety devices, the representative said that the liberals and socialists want to add so-called safety measures to each natural gas well that will cost $100,000 per well. He said that this was only to drive costs up in relation to solar and wind energy costs. He then went on to ridicule solar and wind power and gave the numbers of years that it would take to recover initial solar and wind costs that seemed way out of bounds. Filthy, filthy terrorist bastards. Every single Republican office holder is a member of a terrorist organization, the Republican Party, that wants to destroy and beat this country into the ground. Every single one of them. There are no exceptions here. Not even the sainted two women from Maine. Every single person who is a Republican office holder is part of an international terrorist organization centered in the United States that seeks to destroy this country and to export terrorism to every single country where we have a military presence. That's what they are doing. And damn near all the Democrats do too. But the Republicans are the one who have made a career out of lying, sneaking, cowardice. Oh. Sanchez is in Montbello, California. Hey, Sanchez.
Hey, good evening to you, Senor Malloy. As much love as platonically as possible, I send to you.
Well, thank you very much.
Tonight, great minds are thinking alike. Ever since Mike Papantonio came on and did his interview with his conversation with you, I swear to God, right now I have six pages of notes that I've made, and one by one, Mike, you've been picking them all off, so I'm going to go with the points that you haven't covered, but the one that I wholeheartedly agree with, first of all, that I want to kick off with is exactly this. Why doesn't Congress immediately, this very second, order a requisite shutoff
really?
Of all of these platforms, I mean, including the ones off California, Alaska, anywhere that an American company has an oil rig, and if those people do not have those fail-safe mechanisms on there, shut them down this moment. Because as you were saying before, these people are practicing terrorism, but the oil companies are practicing terrorism against Mother Earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I've been listening to you, Mike, since what? 2004, I think, since your Air America days. Mike Papantonio was talking about connecting the dots. Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
At this point, we have connected all the dots. I'm sitting here with a piece of paper, and it's all black. All the dots have been connected.
Mm-hmm.
The point I want to make
mm-hmm.
about the corporations here, we have to start thinking about this. You're asking, what's it going to take? Well, sheeple, you got to think of it this way. The politicians and the corporations are addicted to money and profits. Much like you see a New York junkie in the alley addicted to heroin,
mm-hmm.
that's how these corporations are. They're addicted to money and profits. Now, what the sheeple don't realize is that we are the heroin dealers. We can shut that supply off ourselves if you only stop and think about something like that. Remember when Poland had their strike back in, what was it, the 19th? Lech Walesa led
mm-hmm.
the strike?
Mm-hmm.
What was their phrase? Do you remember?
No.
Solidarity.
Oh, yeah, that was the name of their organization. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Solidarity.
Sure.
For once in your freaking lives, pull your heads out of your butts. This thing in Arizona, the same thing. I've been on Facebook, on blogging all over the place, and that's the only thing I've been putting down is solidarity boycott. Me, I live an alternative lifestyle. I'm probably one of the oddest birds listening to your radio program right now. I walk to the ghetto market. I walk to the burger stand. I walk. I use public transportation. Why? Because my own conscience will no longer allow me to put nickels, dimes, and quarters into the oil company's pockets.
This is
a prime example as to why, sheeple, you should stop.
I hear you, Sanchez. I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, pal. We got a break. I appreciate what you had to say. We'll be right back. I got an email here from Mike Papantonio, the quote about praying that he attributed to Attorney General Holder. Actually, it was made by the Alabama Attorney General. He wanted me to correct that. Troy King. Here's what he said. I guess this is a press release from the Alabama Attorney General. Troy King announced today that efforts have been underway by his office since the explosion at the Deepwater Horizon drilling platform to ensure Alabama has a strong response that protects the Gulf Coast. Attorney General King, yada, 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 is in contact, whatever. And then down here, this is not a time for class action lawsuits and profit taking. This is a time for preparedness and prayer. Together, the attorneys general from across the Gulf Coast, listen to this, will seek to memorialize the commitment BP has already made to protect Alabamians, their property, and their business for the losses caused by BP. So it was the Alabama Attorney General, Troy King, who made the statement about this is not the time for lawsuits, it's time to pray! Hallelujah! Yeah! Get on your knees. Where is Pat Robertson to tell us that Paiush Jindal's state of Louisiana is being punished because there are too many gay people in New Orleans? That's the reason that the well blew. From Jeanette, the imagery of Jindal and Miss Drill Baby Drill out on rowboats sponging up the mess cracked me up. Of course, they won't have to do that. But that's what they deserve. And Obama's energy plan isn't helping. More drilling, more nuclear power plants. I know he can say nuclear correctly, but who cares about it if he creates more plants? Obama campaigned strongly on alternative energy, including the fact that investing in it would create more jobs. What happened to that? Is there a reason, in light of the mining and drilling disasters, that he can't push for a mandate that from now on, all cars produced must be hybrids, hydrogen vehicles, or completely electric? The government could give consumers who can't afford to buy them some type of assistance. Then all the right-wingers would bitch about government takeovers and social redistribution of wealth. And then she says two words here that I can't say. Regarding Papantonio, I love listening to him. Southern accents usually make me want to drive ice picks into my ears. But his I enjoy. Unfortunately, because Ring of Fire is not on every day like you and Stephanie are, I often forget to listen. I love Bobby Kennedy Jr. too. Haven't heard much of Dave Bender. What's it going to take to turn things around? I don't know. These dumbass Tea Partiers are mad at the wrong people. I'm afraid they're too dumb and incapable of independent thought to change, though they are capable of parroting talking points and slogans. And some more from Jeanette. Thanks, Jeanette. I appreciate it. Barry is in New Hampshire listening online. Hey, Barry.
Hi, Mike. I'm very how are you this evening?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm great.
Good.
And I'm so glad that everything worked out yesterday for you folks.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I want to remind everybody listening, hey, sign up for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and you know, I was listening to Brad Friedman yesterday, and he had a really valid point about the label conservative.
Mm-hmm.
We really legitimize what a dynamic that I think has changed in this country a long time ago. Really, Democrats are new conservatives. What Republicans have done, they've abandoned any type of real political philosophy. What they do is they will adapt themselves around whatever it takes to keep themselves in power. They don't have any fealty to the Constitution. They don't have any fealty to law, ethics, ethical behavior, or anything.
Right.
All they care about is their own power base,
right,
and continuing themselves in office and in power. And to call them conservatives really, it's sort of disturbing to me. I consider myself to be sort of conservative, even though I'm extremely a leftist at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
Because I work for a living. Okay?
Sure.
I have a job, and I agree. I'm part of the machine. So I'm part of the capitalist machine. I go to work. I make a living. I pay my bills. I'm conservative. I don't go out and commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't steal from other people to make my life better or my family's life better. I stay out of other people's business, including their personal life and their personal religion. And that's what conservatism used to be about.
Yeah,
it
right.
It used to be about things like, hey, we want to regulate stuff so that it doesn't damage what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost all of this, okay? And what's happened is that they just jerk around from issue to issue. They'll grab on the gender issues with the gays, the lesbians, and the transgenders, or they'll grab on the race, or they'll grab religion.
Mm-hmm.
But anything they can, they'll grab anything they possibly
can to
ramp up hysteria in their right.
That's right. And the moral bankruptcy of these people, Barry, is just beyond belief. And let's not forget the first two syllables of the word conservative. Hey, thanks, Barry. I got to move on. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. Before the hour. Yeah, I get it. Every bit of the bumper music tonight are songs related to heart.
But I can't find any by heart.
You can't find any by heart, huh? Michael in Roswell, worth a reminder, the entire annual budget of the nation's only dedicated renewable energy national laboratory is equal to about 40 hours of war in Afghanistan. But the oil companies might get a pipeline out of the war, so it's worth it, right? Not only do the oil companies privatize the profits and socialize the environmental risk, but they also get a huge indirect subsidy from the government in the form of military assistance whenever and wherever they need it. Why pay for your own security when you can borrow the U.S. military anytime it's needed? Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Andy is in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Andy.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
You hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, I think really the pertinent question is how much oil is in that borehole, because it's going to end up exhausting itself. That's the only way it's going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any idea exactly how much there is down there?
No, and that's what we were talking earlier tonight with Mike Papantonio.
I listened to that.
Yeah, there's no way to know.
Don't the oil companies pride themselves in explaining to us exactly how many billions of barrels are going to be here and there? Do they not know what they have dug into?
I don't think they know what every well will produce.
Right.
They can tell what a field, so-called, might produce.
Right.
That's my understanding. But each individual well, I don't know how they would do that. But I would be willing to bet that it's an awful lot. They're not going to go to the expense that they do go to, although it's cheesy the way they do it, and sink something, you know, 5,000 feet down under the ocean,
right,
unless there's a lot of oil there. So that's a very good point that you bring up. The amount of oil that's going to come gushing out of there, who knows?
I fear that, and really I honed in on this within days of this thing happening, but there is no way they can plug it. There's no way. And it's going to exhaust itself, and I think that this is going to color really the next 50 years.
Oh, God.
That's my sense of it. The earth is bleeding.
It is. It is.
Thanks, Mike. It's really good to talk to you again.
All right. My pleasure. Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. I mean, what a thought. I'm just glad that this is going to sound very selfish, but I'm just glad that Kathy and I had a chance to take Molly to the Gulf beaches a number of times since she's been a little kid. Well, she's still a little kid, but you know what I mean. I'm glad she had a chance to go into the Gulf. I'm glad she had a chance to look at sand dunes. She always wanted to climb up the sand dunes, but, you know, we told her, no, 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 you can't get up on the sand dunes. She was able to see wild sea oats. She saw porpoises. She's seen all this kind of wildlife. She's seen stingrays. She has helped me fish, standing on the beach and throwing a line in. She's seen huge manta rays. She's seen those sunsets that you see at Cape San Blas in the Panhandle. And my grandchildren have seen it. And, of course, my adult children. But I'm glad that Molly, who will turn 6 this summer, I'm glad she had a chance to see all this, because it's becoming more and more apparent that we are destroying everything. And by we, I don't mean just Americans, although we certainly are doing our share to cut the very heart out of this planet. Papantonio was talking earlier tonight about the younger generation, 18 to 35, turning this around. I hope that's the case. But, you know, having a little kid at my age is really made me take a look at things that normally when you reach my age, you don't really think about them that much. I mean, you are concerned. I know a lot of aging baby boomers are still concerned about issues that we were concerned about 45 years ago, but I notice with my friends who are within, you know, 10, 15 years of my age, either side, that they don't have the concerns that I have, because I have a 5-year-old kid. And it's not that they're not concerned. It's just that I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. You know what I'm talking about, Kathy? You know, it's just having Molly. And I'm sure anyone who has a child 4, 5, 6 years old. I mean, you don't have to be an old bastard like me. No matter what your age is, if you have a 5-year-old kid, what are they going to have 15, 20 years from now? You know, my unasked for advice is, no matter what you have to do, if you have a kid that age, take her or him to see what a coastline looks like, to see what ocean waves look like, to see what it's like to walk on a white sand beach and pick up seashells. I mean, do it. I know nobody has any money. Nobody has time to do it, but you better do it. You better do it so that when your kid is 20 or 30 or 40, he or she will at least have some kind of a memory of this stuff. It's a hell of a thing to say, isn't it? Jonathan is in Malvern, PA. Hello, Jonathan.
Yeah, our natural resources will be protected as long as their destruction doesn't indirectly or directly serve the campaign of a politician. The only reason why we go to war for non-existent WMDs or let oil rigs operate in places where they can destroy our coastlines is because politicians benefit from the contributions from the companies that run the operations in those places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that simple. I mean, nothing will change. You know, politicians will, of course, be like, oh, we'll change the rules here or there around election time. But, I mean, what else happens when it's not close to an election that actually benefits the people of America and not just the corporations?
Mm. Yeah, no, I get your point.
I mean, do you think that's right?
Yeah, I do, of course. I mean, that's what we talk about on this program in one way, shape, or form every single night.
I mean, at least you're not, you know, for the most part, talking to Republicans because they're two-step people, and you're talking in, like, four steps. They're not going to understand a thing. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not like if you read, like, Tolstoy or Dickens or any of these books that have been around for, like, 80 years, you know, you'll notice that all the lessons that we need as humans are in those books.
Sure.
But it's not like they're being either comprehended or...
Well, no. The, you know, the conservatives in this country, the Republicans in this country, especially the rank and file, they are subscribers to a death cult. There are two things in this country that are seeking to end everything that are all about death and destruction. Fundamentalist religion, in this country that would be Christianity for the most part, fundamentalist religion and conservative political thought. These are death cults. These are ideas that seek utter destruction, total annihilation, in order to fulfill some kind of madness inside the heads of the people talking about this. Religious fundamentalism, in this country that means Christianity, and this conservative orthodoxy where it concerns political or economic thought, these are death cults. Death. And when you spend any time at all listening to somebody like Beck, Glenn Beck, or Sean Hannity, or Rush Limbaugh, not Hannity so much, he's just a little parrot that likes to steal money from the families of dead soldiers, but the real evil bastards in this country that are on radio and television, if you listen to them, you understand, it doesn't take too long if you still have a working brain, that they are trying to convince everybody in their listenership to commit suicide, spiritual suicide, ecological suicide, political suicide. Conservatism is a death cult. Republican Party is a death organization.
Keep me in your heart for a while.
Two wrote in regarding the oil well. This is vis-a-vis that caller that said about it running dry. The oil well won't run until dry, just until pressure is relieved. But they can pump cement into the well to seal it. It will take at least a month to bring a platform to start on the work. Cementing around the casing to seal it to the ground, I guess the sea bottom, so that it doesn't leak, was the process that they had been doing recently. You can then run the pressure way up to do rock fracturing before pumping operations. It apparently had a blowout of the tube at the surface that caused the explosion on the platform. The wellhead on the seafloor was damaged by the out-of-control platform trying to drag the drill tube and casing back out of the ground as it drifted away from the site. There's supposed to be a breakaway point that keeps this from happening, but apparently they used a cheap one that didn't work. They saved $500,000. Yeah, they did. Matt is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. Sometimes I talk to Republicans when I can't avoid it, and I ask them, what kind of a country do you see? And now we see recession, a depression, say what you want. How many wars are we in? Two? Three? Unknown. Billions, trillions of dollars gone. And ecological disaster. Can you imagine if McCain and Bible Spice?
Oh, man.
I mean, I've been to Pensacola. I was stationed there. These are some of, for the next 24 hours or so, the finest beaches probably in the country. If you just want to relax and the white sand, you know, you've probably been up there.
Oh, yeah. They, oh, God, yeah.
The whole place is going to be destroyed forever. They will never recover.
I know.
It's just a catastrophe. Anyway.
Well, and it's not just, you know, Pensacola, that whole area that, you know, those white sand beaches that you're talking about, I don't know any place in the United States where you find them like that.
No, they're unique. They really are. They forget about the wildlife and on the ecological catastrophe. I mean, I say that facetiously.
There are a couple of state parks down there. There is one, the Cape San Blas State Park. That's a state park, right, Kathy? It's not federal. What is it?
It's the St. Joe State.
St.
Joe Peninsula State. Park,
yeah,
because it's on Cape San Blas.
Because it's right near Port St. Joe. If you know, you can take your car so far and then you have to stop. They have signs, no cars beyond this point. Of course, there's no road. And there is a trail that will lead you out to sand dunes. Some of those sand dunes are 30 feet high, 40 feet high of this white powdery sand. And as you work your way, they have designated trails that don't disturb the dunes, and as you work your way down to the beach, now this is an area where there's nothing out there. I mean, it's just wild beach with seashells and but if you go down there and just stand on that beach and look out, you can see sea life all along that. I mean, porpoises anytime you want to, but especially out on that point, it's just unbelievable. I've not seen anything like that. No matter where I've traveled, there are beautiful beaches in Puerto Rico, but they're just beaches. There are beautiful beaches in Hawaii, but they're just beaches. This is astonishing. And when this blowout occurred, that's one of the first things that Kathy and I were talking about. Oh my God. If it hits along those counties, along those beaches, we have lost something that will never, I mean, it's gone forever.
It's just gone forever.
Gone forever.
That sand is so fine.
Oh, it's like powder. It's like talcum powder.
It's like sugar. It's just really unique, and it's just a shame. It's
yeah.
Terrible. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate you checking in. Somebody named Low Knox. Am I supposed to, I guess I'm supposed to send a message to somebody in the chat room named Low Knox. Here, buddy, this is for you. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Great to hear all the good news about Kathy.
Thank you very much.
And hearing you talk about taking Molly down there, and I got St. Joseph Park there. We're on that little J, reverse J hook.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's just gorgeous. Like I said, I've never seen a place like that.
And everything west of that, again, like the previous caller, it's just sugar sand. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the thought of it going away, and fortunately, my wife and I had a chance to take our young teenage daughters there back, oh, geez, now 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and they got to see the same thing.
Yeah.
They got to swim with dolphins. We rented a boat, and they got to swim with dolphins off our boat, not at some dolphin park, but just in the wild.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was great. And it's a damn shame it's going to turn the Florida Beach, well, everything, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, it's going to turn it into Texas Beach, where you dig down 6 inches and you find the last layer of oil.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Steve, I don't any longer know what the hell to think about this stuff. I don't. Hey, Steve, thanks. We're flat out of time. Appreciate you checking in, pal. We'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are. Just like